We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend for Beaver Nation. Fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hom Kombucha. Johnny, I know I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We get a chance to visit with Tristan Jebbia in a longer form style of podcast offers that, because normally Tristan was just standing on a terrace or out of Pro Field after a practice and can just kind of touch base for a minute or two here and there. So thanks for taking some time for us. We appreciate it. Let's first start with, I guess, the latest, and then I kind of want to work back into how you ended up here, how you ended up in Nebraska, how you ended up at Calabasas. You have a very intriguing story, but let's start with the more immediate. You're starting in the 123rd Civil War, and kind of how the week went along and when you knew that you were going to have the keys of the offense and start that game.
So it was definitely an interesting week, to say the least, but, you know, Jake had been a trooper all year, you know, really fighting through, you know, football is a physical game, you know, so he was a little banged up and after the Wazoo game, and I was like, okay, well, might get a chance to go this week, you know, just stay ready and locked in as usual, you know, just like any other week, treat it like that. And, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday go by and, you know, he's feeling the forearm a little bit, but it's not too bad, you know. And then Thursday hit and he was like, I got to do something about this. So I took most of the reps Thursday, and Friday I took most of the reps. And then Saturday, you know, wake up. He was my roommate in the hotel, so wake up and, you know, we get on the bus to go to the game, and so it's still up in the air. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, you know. So just took it like really any other game and just stayed with the same preparation, same process. And then, you know, we get to the field and I get taped and all that stuff. We go out to the field and Jake's already down there, I guess, warming up, throwing stuff. And he comes the tunnel, and I'm going into the tunnel, and he just passes me, and he looks at me, and he shakes his head, and has a little frown on his face, and I'm like, okay, well, here we go. I guess that means that I'm getting my first start today, and just so went out there and warmed up like I usually do and treated everything the same, and Yeah.
And the rest is history, and it's impressive. We'll talk about that, too, in a moment. John, did you have a follow? You kind of confirmed the news on the broadcast.
Yeah, in fact, we've heard varying degrees of the story about when people knew stuff, and I like to hear it straight from you because it confirms that we really didn't know until that point, which was during warm-ups and very, very close to kickoff. In that tunnel, I know you performed very well, and you've talked about how it's just another game, but we all are human. Did you get a quick twinge of nervousness?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you care about something, you know, especially if you love something, you know, it matters to you if you play well. But I think what's the most important thing, and the thing that's helped me a lot in my process is, you know, Kobe Bryant talked about it, and I talked about it in an interview not too long ago, but he was asked whether he fears failure or he, like, just all he wants to do is succeed, and he just is hungry for success and nothing else. And he said there's a middle ground. Like, I think there isn't so much things in life. And the middle ground to me, and as well as him, it made sense to me, you know, you play to learn. You know, you play to figure it out. And eventually, you know, you keep playing, you keep working, you keep understanding what you did wrong, how to improve, and you get to where you want to be. And, you know, so you don't fear the failure, and you don't necessarily strive for the success, but you just try to get better every single day. So with that mindset, I think it was easy for me to go out there and trust my teammates and trust my coaches, you know.
Your very first drive, I mean, you're making great throws, and you guys actually get a touchdown to take the lead. It gets called back, unfortunately, because it looked like it was well blocked, and Jamar made a great run. And unfortunately, the penalty was probably even unnecessary. You guys would have scored a touchdown without it. But you look really comfortable in that first drive. What was that like to finally to get to play and to be on that stage? Did you just have to stay all business, or did you kind of look around and think, hey, this is pretty fun and it's cool?
No, I mean, you know, getting ready to take the field, you're like, wow, this is a dream come true. I mean, I'm from Southern California, and I watched Civil War games growing up, so, like, it's not something that's just unique to Oregon having a big deal, but, you know, like I said, I think that I have great coaches and great teammates around me. So to me, really, it was more about executing my responsibility than to go out there and, you know, throw Patrick Mahomes no-look passes to get a win, you know. And I think, you know, we were close. So, yeah.
Yes, you were.
Your teammates, how did they respond? Did they leave you alone or like a pitcher at the end of the bench in the dugout, or did they come up to you and say, let's go?
Yeah, so, I mean, for the most part, I think that they were just like, all right, business carries on as usual. I don't think that they felt the need to give me a real pep talk or anything like that. I don't think my coaches felt the need to do that either. You know, I think that they knew that, at least I'd like to think that they knew that I was prepared and, you know, I was ready to step into the role that I was going to have to play that day. And I felt very confident in my ability, so I hope that they did too, you know.
Tristan, I've been so impressed watching you this year during games when Jake is putting up big numbers or completed a touchdown pass. You are the first person to get over there. I've seen the smile on your face on the sideline all year long, celebrating with your teammates. One of the qualities Mike Riley said of you when you were at Nebraska was that you are a magnet, that you love your teammates, they love you, they have a trust and respect for you. But that's real, it looks like. I mean, you're not just, well, I'm going to play the role of good teammate and celebrate a touchdown. I mean, you wanted to win the job going into the year. Jake did. But you celebrated along with him all year long, it seems like.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, that really it comes from, you know, my faith background and the way that I was raised. I think that, you know, it's about the team. You know, we got 100 guys on the team. You know, I'm just one person of that 100 guys, and, you know, I want to win still. You know, I don't care where I am on the field, whether I'm injured or playing or riding the bench. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I want to win the game. So when my big thing was being able to be prepared enough to give Jake great insight on the sideline and, you know, give good input to my coaches when they ask, you know, things about coverages and fronts and all that stuff. But, you know, I really feel like the way that you follow is going to be the way that you eventually lead. So if you can show humility and respect for those that are in front of you when it's your turn to take the lead, if you ever take the lead, that, you know, people will respect you all the more for it. You know, I think that's why, you know, I'm religious, so, like, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and so I think that that's something that's really important to do. You know, whether you're religious or not, I think that there's great lessons to be learned from any religion, you know. I think that it makes you really care about other people, and I think it's important, you know.
Very mature answer, especially about you want to win wherever you are on the field. Then how do you take on challenges? Does it bother you if there's rhetoric going on in the off season about getting another guy or some young guy, and you're not necessarily you have to win the job? Does that stuff bother you?
No, as far as I'm concerned, I do have to win the job. You know, just taking it one day at a time, and like, I want to compete every single day. You know, I think that competition makes everybody on the team better. I said it last year when, you know, Jake came back for his sixth year. I was like, I think that's the best thing that could happen for our team, and it really was. You know, when you think about it, because we were very close. We're, you know, a play away from becoming bowl eligible in multiple games, you know. And so I think the sky's the limit for this team, and if bringing in another quarterback is what it's going to take to, you know, give me a little extra edge or to give the team a little extra edge if it's not me playing, then I think that's exactly what we need.
I want to kind of come back here in a minute with you, Tristan, on just kind of your whole journey, but one final thought about the Civil War and your first game under your belt and studying film afterwards, and, you know, from that first drive to the rest of the game, just and how did you feel things went for you in the offense?
No, I think that, I mean, I definitely, you know, felt like I felt comfortable in most of the game. You know, there's stuff that you have to clean up, obviously. I don't think there's anybody that's ever played a perfect game, you know. And I think that's what's so great about playing football is there's always something to learn. Whether you win the game by 40 points or you lose by 40 points or you tie, you know, like there's always something to learn. And, you know, the ball is shaped weird and it bounces different ways, you know. And so sometimes you get those bounces and sometimes you don't. But, you know, I think the good thing about being able to watch film and really, you know, reflect and meditate on how the game went, you know, there's the good news is there's a lot of stuff to learn. And I think that, you know, we can do that in the offseason and get much better, you know.
What happened in the second half specifically then? I mean, there was so much made of it. Isaiah doesn't have any catches at halftime. He ends up with 8 in his final half as a Beaver. And I remember even saying on the broadcast, if this is going to be his last half in an Oregon State uniform, well, he's going out in a big way. But what was there an adjustment? Was there better recognition or just timing on your guys' part of what happened in the second half?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, we got backed up a couple times in that second quarter, and we were inside the 10-yard line, I think, 3 or 4 times. And so it's not exactly a situation where you're going to air it out a whole lot. You know, you might take a couple shots here and there. But I think that it was just ultimately just settling in, you know, and just starting to really get a – once, you know, our coaches do a great job making halftime adjustments. They've done it all year. And so I think that just getting in the locker room, talking to the guys, and, you know, I think it was a matter of time before it all clicked, you know, because I think we have a great scheme and, you know, Oregon was doing some good stuff on defense, but just really just trusting the process and taking it one play at a time, you know, I think that's what it really was at the end of the day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's transition. Let's talk, Tristan, about how you got here. I mean, how far back does it go? You told us off the air that you pretty much made your decision your junior year in high school.
Yeah, I mean, I made my decision to go to Nebraska as a junior in high school, and, you know, that was somewhere where I wanted to go for 4 or 5 years, and, you know, I was all for it. You know, the future was bright at Nebraska for me especially, and, you know, I thought it was a great situation with great coaches and all that stuff, and, you know, I think the saying is funny, you know, we make plans and God laughs sometimes, and, you know, I think there's a nice humor to have about that, but I think that ultimately, like, what he has for me is better than what I have for myself.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I want to, that's interesting, and even staying, there was an element, I think, of your love for your teammates there to stay and kind of keep because you like what you were experiencing there and why you didn't transfer out immediately when Mike was let go. We can come back to that in a minute. I'm curious about football itself because what I read about you, Tristan, it wasn't until, I mean, you were more of a baseball, basketball guy growing up. Your dad had played at Ole Miss, famous for a great catch to beat Tulane. That's the one thing I found on YouTube, a great catch to win a game in the
final. What year was that?
1989. Ole Miss goes 8-4 and wins the Liberty Bowl. That's a pretty good year. And his dad was a big-time player on that team.
I'm sure I saw it.
Yeah, his first touchdown. Yeah, because you watch every bowl game, and you're going to watch the Beavers in one next year, too. But anyway, that's getting ahead of ourselves. But Rich had a teammate that suffered a catastrophic injury in Chucky Mullins, who eventually passed from it. Was that part of a – was your dad not as anxious for you to play football growing up?
Yeah, he actually – he didn't want me and my brothers to play, me and my brother. He wanted us to, you know, really do whatever we're passionate at, you know, whether that was arts or, you know, acting, you know, whatever it was going to be. He just wanted us to have a love for it, you know. And so, he watched his teammate get paralyzed on the field, and that was really hard for him. And so he knew how physical the game was. And I grew up playing baseball and basketball. And, you know, it just happened by coincidence that I was, you know, working out at a facility, and the man named Ty Twine, he was an offensive coordinator for a youth team, you know, and he saw me throwing a baseball and was like, hey, you want to, you know, give this a go? And then I met a man named Bill Heron, who was the head coach for that team, and he's a great man. He really is. I hope somehow he hears this, because I have him, the most respect for him and his family. But they asked me if I wanted to play, and, you know, hearing the stories from when my dad was playing, and you know, I was like scared to play, you know, like I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, you know. And so I go out there, and Colby Parkinson was actually my tight end on that team. Yeah, so that's interesting. But I threw my first touchdown pass to Colby, actually, so that's a cool deal. But you know, I think that a lot of times in life, when you're afraid to do something, you end up doing it. Like, it's one of the best things that you can do, you know. And so my passion for the game started there, and, you know, here we are, what is it, like 10 years later or something like that. Crazy.
And so your dad said, you just, dad, can I play football? I'd like to, or give it a shot. And he says, yeah, let's do it. I mean, he kind of was able to get over even some of his own trauma from what he had witnessed.
Yeah, so his thing was like, all right, if you're going to play, you're going to be protected pretty well. So, like, back then, the best helmet was, like, the Rydell Speed. Like, I wasn't going to be out there wearing the concussion bucket bike helmet, you know. Like, and then, like, he got me, like, this full-body girdle that I, like, hated. It had, like, rib pads and all this, like, extra padding, and I was like, I'm not wearing this, you know. Yeah, I was wearing a cup that first season and everything, you know. Nobody wears a cup. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he realized that you can get hurt in basketball, you can get hurt in baseball, like, you can get hurt doing a lot of stuff, you know. And so, like, whatever is going to be, you know, whatever I wanted to do. And then my brother fell in love with the game right after that. I think he's going to be pretty good coming up here. You guys will probably hear about him. But, yeah. And so, you know, my brother loved it before I did, you know. So he's more like the, you know, hit your head against the wall guy, you know. He's great. Dylan's great. But
how old is he?
He's 16. Okay. Yeah, so he should be taking the reins at Calabasas this year after Jaden Casey, who's going to Cal. And so I think the future is bright for him.
Yeah. Good to hear. Johnny?
Well, okay, so you get to Nebraska and coaches there. Then coming over here, was it a relationship from when Jonathan was at Washington that also helped in you coming over here?
Oh, yeah. I think that was the biggest part for me, because I was close to committing to Washington coming out. I was really close. Like, I really liked Washington a lot, and Coach Peterson and Coach Smith. And so when I was like, okay, well, we got to find a new place to play ball at, you know, I got a call from him. And you know, hearing a familiar voice is important, you know. And so I think that knowing him a little bit from the recruiting process definitely helped in that process, yeah.
And also the fact that Coach Riley, you may not have known it at the time, but ended up back here in his hometown, at least helping out for 1 year.
Yeah, so to my knowledge, he was coaching in that AAF league, you know, so I was like, I don't know how involved he was going to be and all that stuff, but I remember Coach Riley actually talking about Coach Smith way back, like I think my true freshman year when we were still at Nebraska. Like, I remember him telling me about how he went down and recruited Coach Smith and, you know, Jonathan Smith. I said, oh yeah, you recruited me, you know, so he had good things to say about him when he was a player. You know, I don't know if he knew him as well when he was a coach or you know, in later in life, but when he was a player, he had all the world to speak of him, and he talked about him going into Washington or something like that and throwing for like 500 yards in his first start or something like that. Yeah.
He didn't even start the game. He came in and midway through the second and only threw for 469 in about 2.5 quarters. So, so he told you about that.
Yeah, so he told me about that. I think we were getting ready to play. It might have been like – might have been Rutgers. We were getting ready, and I was just in stretch line. He started talking to me about that. So, yeah.
Tristan, I kind of want to circle back a little bit further to just some of the things. You know, you start playing football, and you must have liked it immediately. And then, I mean, when I read about some of the mentors you've had that you've worked with in developing your craft, I read a story that had you, I mean, you've interacted with Tim Tebow, with Scott Tolzien, with Terrell Pryor, and Rudy Carpenter. The story with Rudy is interesting because he talks about you going down on some sort of trip to Arizona and keeping him up late, and you were asking him, here's the quote, he's asking me about cover four, cover three, cover two, over fronts, under fronts, bare fronts, blitzes, anything, all night long. You remember that?
Yeah, so, you know, I had an obvious love for the game early because, I was pretty good at throwing, you know. I think that's really what was great about it. And my sophomore year, I started getting attention and stuff, and you know, I was just all about throwing the ball and just throwing for a bunch of yards, and the process wasn't as heavily in my mind. You know, I wasn't worried. I just was like, okay, where's the open guy, you know? And then I ended up working with I worked with Terrell Pryor in like my eighth grade year, and I was just working out with him all the time, like in the car with him and Rod Streeter and Marquette King, and they were going places and working out and stuff. So being around them and you know, that was awesome. You know, you can't ask for more than that. You know, the starting quarterback for the Raiders is, you know, helping you learn how to play the position. And but it wasn't really until like my junior year, right after my junior year, where I started talking to Rudy, and he like started talking to me about all these things in the game that are, you know, so intricate and like how difficult it is to understand these things. And it's all like a big puzzle, you know, like defenses are like a puzzle, like everything fits together. And it like really like ignited my passion for learning, you know, the pro style way to do stuff and, you know, the ins and outs of everything. And, you know, my high school coaches started to build on that after they found out like, hey, this kid actually really cares about this stuff. So Rick Clawson played for Tennessee. Casey Clawson also played for Tennessee. And, you know, Jimmy would come back once in a while, and having interactions with Jimmy and all that stuff was awesome. And Mike Burko would come to our practices. And so, like, just being in that area and just, like, it's like a hotbed for quarterbacks for a long time. So just having them in and out and learning stuff from different people. You know, I go down to Arizona with Rudy to train, and Kurt Warner's around, all that. You know, Derek Anderson hit me up the other day and said that he'd love to talk ball with me, and that'd be awesome. You know, I just anything I can learn from anybody, whether it's I've never talked to Tom Brady, but I'd love to. You know, about Kurt Warner, learning from Kurt Warner all the way down to learning from, you know, Nick Moore. You know, like, you know, who's on my team already. You know, I think that you can learn stuff from everybody. You know,
is there any one thing that all those guys, a common denominator on what they all kind of came back to?
You know, I think that's interesting because I think Terrell Pryor was big on his athleticism. You know, I think things work for everybody. I think a little different, you know, something a little different works for everybody. I think Kurt Warner's all about, you know, designing plays that have checkdowns that make sense, you know, like having flat controls and all that stuff. And that was really eye-opening to me, especially in our system, because you know, we have to think about the protection a lot. And so, like, understanding, like, okay, if I have a deep cross and a post, like, there's got to be something underneath it to control the linebackers. Well, okay, then that means I have to get a chip flat out of the backfield with the running back, you know, and, like, all the concepts have to make sense like that, like triangle reads, He talks about those all the time, where you have basically everything in an offense is trying to do is get a triangle read or a two-on-one. So you're looking for, you know, like when you think about just the basic like corner hitch concept, like smash, like every offense in the country has that. What you're trying to do is get a two-on-one on the corner in that situation, you know. And then, you know, so a lot of teams will design like the climb route from the backside where you have the over and then the post sit, and basically all you're trying to do is high low the corner, and then if the safety takes the corner, then you throw the over, and you know if the linebacker gets depth with the over, then you get to the pearl wide, and then it's a two-on-one. It's all two-on-ones. So like when you think about football like that, then when you're designing an offense, all you have to do is really just draw circles in the defense that are open, and then you try to design plays to get to those circles. So if you're looking at you know, cover three, the circles are in the, you know, in between the corner and the safety. So how do I attack this opening in the defense? So that's how they taught me.
A football junkie is speaking to us, John. I mean, somebody who has spent a lot of time, and Coach Riley said you were always in the film room. I take it that you brought that same kind of approach and work ethic here. That, I mean, you love this stuff. It sounds like, and just hear it coming out of you, it's a fascination almost to you to see how this all this stuff works.
Yeah, I think what's so cool about it is how hard it is to learn. You know, like, I'm still trying to learn a lot about the defensive line fronts and, you know, how those correspond to blitzes that teams will bring. Like, you know, everybody has tendencies. Like, teams have tendencies in what they do with their front. And, you know, like, this year we played a couple teams where if we were in, like, an empty protection with five guys and they were bringing six, like, we would have to know, you know, where a D lineman was lined up in relation to a linebacker, because that meant that somebody was coming. So I think, you know, especially studying our defense in the offseason to get a beat on them, you know, to have better performance in spring ball and fall camp, like, those are going to be things that I'm going to be looking for and, you know, trying to get a beat on that, so.
There's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of what you're talking about. Having not started yet this year, do you know Oregon State offense well enough that it's react, not think about it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, obviously you always game plan some stuff, so there's some new things that go in every week. And, you know, as when I was the backup, you know, and I didn't start until Oregon, obviously, you know, there were plays that I didn't necessarily get to rep live in practice. So I would have to, you know, get a receiver to stand at the top of the route after practice and work it and go through my head, you know, how it worked. And flashcards are big for me. That's really how I learn. Like, I usually just, like, if I draw the play a couple times, like, I can see it in my head, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's really how I learn the new stuff. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, most of those concepts, no matter how you end up running them, like, they have a progression to them or, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. So if you're able to see the shell of the defense, like, you should be fine.
Last couple of things, and it's clear we could spend the rest of the day talking. I know we have a show to do. Tristan has a life to lead. So, you know, we're going to have to kind of begin to wrap this up with Tristan. But your time at Calabasas, it's impressive to me on a number of levels in that before you got there, before Casey Clawson took the job, I read that school had gone through a 53-game losing streak at one point the year before you got there, 0-10. And then you end up going 29-3. That's an amazing turnaround as a starter. So what happened? I mean, and how cool was it to be part of a changing program at Calabasas?
You know, it was awesome. You know, the age-old football argument is it X's and O's or is it the Jimmys and Joes, you know? Does your scheme matter more or does your players matter more? And I think that we just had a good combination at Nebraska – I mean, at Calabasas. I think that Casey Clawson and Rick Clawson do an awesome job of, you know, teaching an offense. And we had Chris Claiborne, who's the head coach there now, was our D coordinator, and he's played a lot in, you know – You know, Chris Claiborne is a legend at USC for linebacker. So having all those pieces of, like, great coaches really, I think, kind of drove the talent. And then we had guys coming in that wanted to learn how to play like that. You know, so we got some help from some transfers and stuff. And, you know, I think just the culture there was something that was like, okay, like we're here to accomplish something. We're not here to just get to college. We're not, you know, we want to, you know, do things the right way and learn how to play the game. And, you know, it came, you know, as a process, just like Oregon, just like Coach Smith in Oregon State. You know, Coach Smith took over a program that was 1-11, you know, next year 2-10, the year after that 5-7. I mean, 2-10 to 5-7 is a huge, huge shift. And I think that's because of not only the X's and O's piece of it, because I think we have some of the best offensive and defensive minds in the country. But I think that the buy-in was there from the players. You know, I think that it mattered a lot to us to you know, start putting Oregon State into a, you know, to not be at the bottom of the Pac-12 anymore, you know, and we're close. You know, I mean, I think that there's a couple games. We lose 3 games by 8 points, if I'm right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's just stuff that we can just keep building on and, you know, understand.
Well, Johnny, what time
impressive.
Have, by the way? No, it isn't.
28 minutes and four. 28 in.
30.
Yeah. Jack Anderson or Adley Rutschman record?
I don't think so, unless we keep going, but I think we go now.
We got a couple of other things, and we'll close it up. When you mentioned the coaches and Jonathan and Brian Lindgren and and I don't know how much in your life you're able ever to pick the brain of a defensive coordinator. If Tim Tivisar would ever reveal to you, well, here's what we're thinking and why we're doing this. I mean, do you try in some way, shape, or form, Tristan, to try to talk to coaches on both sides of the ball? And what are those conversations like?
Yeah, so, you know, I think I asked Coach Bray when he was at Nebraska, like, how would you game plan for me, you know, stuff like that. I was gonna actually ask that to probably D coordinator pretty soon. That way I can, you know, work on my weaknesses and stuff. But, you know, talk to Coach Smith and Coach Lindgren all the time, you know, about how they see things and, you know, and then talk about how I see things and, you know, find, like, where, you know, where we're at, I guess. And I think Coach Tibbs and them are an open book. You know, I think before fall camp, like, I got a whole, like, the secondaries, like, calls. Like, they just were like, yeah, here, take the sheet, you know, like, to, you know, some to study, you know. And, you know, I try to close my ears, you know, that way I can, you know, I see it. But just to learn that stuff and how, you know, defenses communicate. And, you know, sometimes on film you can see the opposing team signals for what plays they're running because, you know, most teams, except for Penn State my freshman year, don't run like 80 coverages, you know. So sometimes you can see those signals and stuff. But, you know, I think it's an open dialogue in that facility. And I think the cool thing about it is everybody loves football that's working there. I think that's why Coach Smith hired them, you know.
It's an elite staff. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Tristan, your goals here from now until, you know, spring ball, fall camp, et cetera. What are your plans? What do you do with your body, with your time, with your craft here before we kind of see you again in the spring?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Coach Mack's going to have a great system for us to be going through in winter camp and lifting and running and getting faster and stronger. And, you know, I think that he's going to do a great job with getting our bodies right. Meeting with Coach Lindgren as often as the rules allow him and as often as he's in town, I think that's going to be a big part too. You know, just continue to get comfortable with the offense and understand the ins and outs and just not like the basic umbrella stuff, like, you know, just really getting into, you know, because this is going to be the first time that I'm in a system for 2 spring balls. You know, so I'll finally have, like, some stability, I think, in the offense, which will be awesome. And just continuing to, you know, work on my faith and, you know, work on the bond that I have with my teammates, because I think that stuff's what's going to win you games in the fourth quarter is, you know, the connection that you have with your teammates and, you know, wanting to push a little harder for the seniors that are coming out, you know. Trey Bradford will be a senior next year, a whole bunch of guys, you know. So I think sending them off the right way is, you know, what we're trying to do.
And in the quarterback art itself, just your arm strength, all of that. I mean, and we saw you run a little bit. You say, you know, that you're not necessarily the classic, typical dual threat guy, but you've got some wheels and legs. Is that all part of this offseason to kind of see how the offense perhaps can be tailored to fit your skills, but how you can perhaps even get better yourself as a quarterback?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nobody's a finished product. I mean, I really believe that. I think that there's always some to improve, some to tweak, some to learn. You know, and so working on my arm strength is going to be, you know, I think that's always something you can work on. You know, the stronger your arm is, the more throws you'll be able to make, you know. Maybe the only guy in the world right now that doesn't need to do that is Patrick Mahomes, you know, and Brett Favre before him. But, I mean, even those guys probably go into the offseason and are like, okay, how can I get better? How can I do this and that? Because that's what makes you great. You know, I think understanding that there's always something to learn is what's going to eventually make you great, and the process never ends, you know.
Tristan, we appreciate your time. Look forward to more conversations down the road. But thanks for a generous amount of your time on this week's sports podcast. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tristan Jebbia, that wraps it up for the week. Brought to you in part by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. And visit Corvallis, Beaver Game Day Fun, live in Corvallis, and then extend your stay as Tristan did. Take in all that the beautiful Willamette Valley has to offer by visiting visitcorvallis.com. Visit Corvallis, come for the game, stay to play. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for joining us. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast. Brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.